So it's great to have you here. It's going to be a good morning, good time of praise and worship so far. And I'm going to end the service with going back into a time of that, because I want to speak about praise this morning. That's what the Lord has put on my heart, and it's been on my heart for the last couple of weeks. You might remember, or you may not, but we opened the meeting a couple of weeks ago with this verse that I'd read in a daily devotional. And it was the story we all know of the woman at the well, yeah? And in that story, it's like Jesus has been on this long journey. He sits down by a well, and a woman comes up, and he asks her, "Will you get me a drink of water from the well?" And she kind of makes some excuse, and she's like, "Oh, but Jews and Samarian people," she's a Samarian, the Samaritan, shouldn't kind of be interacting. And he says to her, he says, "Well, if you knew the gift of God, who it is that asks you for a drink, then you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And as a worship leader and as a person who's been involved in church for ages, as you go down through that passage, there's the great verse where it says that we'll worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And that's generally where you'd kind of land in that passage. But what hit me for the first time was that this story starts with Jesus asking for something off the woman, yeah? We tend to come to God and ask for something off him, and yet he tells us to ask. But this story starts with Jesus asking for something off her. And I think within it, there's this great pattern. She kind of doesn't get what's going on. And then he says, "If you had known who it is, who I am, who asked you, then you would have asked me in return." And I think there's this great pattern that's kind of exemplified of what life should look like with God, that God asks us for something. And one of those things that he asks us for is praise. And that's what I want to look at this morning. I want to talk about what praise can activate in our lives, what praise can bring about in our lives. Because there's some incredible things from looking through the scripture that praise brings about in our lives. It's not just about the kind of 30 minutes we spend here on a Sunday morning or the songs that you might put up during the week on your iPod or whatever. But praise can activate things in your life. And this sermon is entitled Praise, Power, and the Presence of God. Because I firmly believe from looking at scripture that praise releases the power and the presence of God in our lives. So I want us to end with a time of praise. But before we do that, I want to just look through some things in the Bible that it says. And then we activate them with a time of praise at the end. Amen? And I want to just follow on from even Myrtle had a word a while back, or maybe even been last week, where she felt that there was breakthrough going to come in people's lives, but that it was as a result of where we go to in worship, and where we go to in praise. And so I believe that God is moving on this, and I believe if we listen out, yeah, if we have those ears, the Paul prayed to the Ephesians that you have ears to hear. If we have those ears to hear, that God would say something to our hearts this morning. Do we believe that God wants to speak to us today? To us individually, yeah? To each and every one of us that are here. We're not just doing this out of religion or out of ritual, but that we're here because God wants to speak to us. God wants to do something in your life today, in your heart today. So I just pray that we'd listen out for what he says and that he'd shape us and mold us today into what he wants us to be. So let's start out with a kind of definition of what praise is, okay? Because as a worship leader going back, I used to think kind of praise was the fast songs, yeah, and worship was the slow songs. And generally we'd do kind of one praise song, one fast song, and two slow songs, and that's how we'd kind of flow with our worship time. But looking at it in the Bible and from a scriptural basis, and you could talk all day about this kind of stuff, worship, okay? Worship is more about what we do as Christians than what we sing or what we say on a Sunday morning, yeah? That we're called to live lives of worship, lifestyles of worship. Romans 1:21 says this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, because this is your true and proper worship." And it's about laying our lives down before God, not just in words that we sing, not just in emotional kind of choruses that get us feeling all warm and fuzzy, but it's about living our lives in a way that gives glory to God. Living our lives in a way, to worship means literally to bow down. It means living our lives in a way that we're bowed and surrendered to the will and the purposes of God in our lives. So worship is more about what we do than what we say. But praise, on the other hand, okay, stay with me, praise is always vocal in the Bible, okay? So whenever we see praise, it's always someone speaking or saying something out. It always involves us activating our vocal cords and saying something out into the atmosphere, saying something out towards heaven, saying something into a situation that reflects who God is in his glory and in his majesty. Praise is always vocal, and the Bible insists that it has to come out of our mouth. So praise is like a vocal expression of God's greatness in relation to his revelation into our lives. And it's a response to God's greatness. In fact, it's probably the only appropriate response to God's greatness. Psalm 48:1 says, "Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised." Yeah? Because God is great, he's greatly to be praised. And so I'm going to speak about how praise releases the presence and the power of God in our lives. But before I do that, let me just say that when I speak about it, I'm speaking about something real, okay? I'm not just speaking about us reciting some words that are on the screen. I'm talking about kind of worship from our hearts. You know, Jesus talks to the Pharisees and he says, like, your lips honor me, but your hearts are far from me, yeah? So praise has to come from a heart that really means it, that's a heart of gratitude, a heart that's seen and encountered something of God and knows something of God. And then praise simply reflects that back onto the Lord. So it's not just about saying the right things, it's about having the right heart and the right attitude towards God. And so I want to show you some things about praise, right? I'm going to go through four different things before we go back into a time of praise. And I believe fully that there's breakthrough in this morning for people in different areas of their lives. The first one is this, is that praise is the way into God's presence, okay? We probably all know that. That's why we tend to start services with praise like this, that there's a pattern that's established in the Bible that says that praise is the way that we kind of encounter the presence of God, or that we enter the presence of God. It says, I'll enter your gates with thanksgiving, yeah, and your courts with praise. Psalm 22:3 tells us that God inhabits, listen to this, God inhabits the praises of his people. Meaning that somehow God lives in, or God inhabits, God dwells in when we praise. That God is present in our praise when we praise and worship him. And if we take that a step further, you'll see in Isaiah 60, verse 18, and you can turn there in your Bibles, or it should be up on the screens there. But it says this in Isaiah 60, verse 18. It says, no longer will violence be heard in your land. Okay, this is a prophecy. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. And when Isaiah is talking about this, he's painting for us a picture of what he calls the city of God, okay? And he's saying that the walls of this city are called salvation and the gates are praise. And so the only way through the wall and into the presence, into the city of God, is through what? It's through the city gates, yeah? And those gates are praise. So praise is the way into the presence of God. And let me tell you this morning that for this church, the presence of God is essential. If we don't have the presence of God in our midst, then all we're doing is playing games, yeah? Without the presence of God in this church and in the lives of the people of this church, we don't stand a chance of reaching this community, yeah? We don't stand a chance of reaching people unless we know we have the presence of God. And we can have the presence of God. Jesus has made the way for that to be possible. Jesus himself becomes the gate way into the presence of God. And it's the presence and power of God that will fill this place with people. It's the presence and power of God that will change lives. It's the presence and power of God that will set people free. It's the presence and the power of God that will see his kingdom coming and his will be done in Bray as it is on heaven. It's his presence that brings revival and transforms life, because the presence is absolutely everything for us as a church. And also for the individual, because it's his presence that marks us out as Christians. And there's not a single example of people in the Bible who encountered the presence of God and didn't leave it changed. There's not a single example. Anytime anyone came into the presence of God, they left differently. And my prayer is that we have such a presence, we enter into his presence through praise. We have such a presence of God in this place and in our lives that every time we encounter God, we leave changed. That you can't come into this place and leave the same way that you came in, yeah? Because we encounter the living God who wants to shape us and mold us and challenge us and correct us and bless us and love us, and that we leave in a way that we've encountered God, and that encounter leaves us changed. Because his presence releases his power. And if you've known the presence of God, you'll know that nothing else compares to it. And if you haven't known it, let me tell you that nothing else compares to it. We need to go after the presence of God. It's something that you can know in your life. If you're feeling distant from God this morning, that praise is the gateway into the presence of God. Because what praise does is it declares what's true about God until our kind of thinking comes in line with God's thinking and God's majesty and glory. And then all of a sudden we encounter his presence. There's been times in my life where I felt so distant from God. I felt so like kind of in tough times. And it's always in praise and worship that God draws me back into his presence. It's always when I take the time to engage with just who God is through praise that I find myself on my knees or on my face again in the presence of God. You know that heavy presence of God that you can experience that kind of floors you? And we enter his presence through praise. So this morning, if you need to know his presence, praise is the gateway in. If you're feeling distant, you're feeling far off, as we go into a time of praise again at the end, I believe that you'll encounter the presence of God and that you'll leave here changed this morning. Someone say amen. Amen. So praise is the way into his presence. And we probably have all heard that before. But here's something else that praise is. Number two, that praise changes your spiritual appearance. Okay? But praise, when you praise God, it changes how you look spiritually. We're going to read from Isaiah again, Isaiah 61. And I'm bouncing all around the Bible this morning because I want to just hit on some different areas with the topic of praise. And we read this out a few weeks ago, but it says this in Isaiah 61 verse 3, that he wants to appoint to them who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Remember we talked about that exchange that God wants to do. The oil of joy for mourning, and listen to this, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. The garment of praise. We come to church, we all like to look our best, yeah? We like to get spruced up, we like to make sure that we look at our best. But if you could look in a mirror this morning, how would you look spiritually? What's your kind of spiritual condition looking like? And the Bible offers us that if you're feeling heavy, if you're feeling like, do you ever look in the mirror, it never happens to me, would you ever look in the mirror and just feel like, bleh, do you know? I don't look good. I think I wake up every morning and think I look sharp, I look fresh, I look brilliant. But do you ever wake up in the morning and you're just like, ugh? Or do you ever feel like that spiritually, right? Do you ever, and it's easy to hide, it's easy to paint over, but do you ever feel like that spiritually, that it's this thing, it just isn't working. I'm not engaged, I'm not on fire the way I used to be, I'm not encountering God the way I used to be, I just feel low, I just feel heavy spiritually. Well, the Bible tells us that praise is a spiritual garment that we can put on. And Jesus told us that this prophecy isn't just for some time in the future, but it's for now. He stood up, one of the first things he does in ministry, he stands up in the temple and he reads out from this passage in Isaiah and he says, today this is fulfilled in your hearing, meaning that those promises are for us today. It's not for some future thing, but that he wants to give us the garment of praise instead of the spirit of heaviness. So as Christians, we have a choice, okay? If you're suffering with things like heaviness and depression and despair and hopelessness and sadness and frustration and emptiness, you have a choice this morning of whether you want to put on the garment of praise or whether you want to keep on that yoke, that garment of heaviness. That it's an absolute choice that you have this morning, because Jesus has said that promise is for now, that scripture is fulfilled now. And praise is called a garment, which might seem a bit strange, but in Jewish tradition at the time, they dressed in accordance with how they felt, okay? So they would feel a certain way. When they were mourning or someone was lost, they dressed in a different way. When they were happy or when they were, they dressed to reflect what their condition was like inside. So when it talks about a garment of praise, it's not talking about putting on some false face for church, yeah? Okay, like swearing at your wife in here on the way in the car and lifting your hands and praising God as if like there's nothing wrong with that, you know what I mean? It's talking about a reflection of how we are on the inside. And but that praise brings that about. That praise is a garment that we can put on instead of a spirit of heaviness. And instead is an important word, because it's like it's saying that if there's a battle between the two of these, one is going to win out, yeah? That it's not like you can have the garment of praise, a bit of praise, half dressed in praise and half dressed in heaviness, yeah? It's saying that heaviness and praise can't coexist. So if you're feeling heavy, or if you're feeling despair, or if you're feeling low, if you're feeling down, the thing to do is to praise God, because it says that garment is replaced with a garment of praise. That's an incredible offer, church. And if you need to avail of it this morning, if you're feeling weary or burdened, and if you could see your spirit in a mirror this morning and it was looking down, the Bible tells us to put on the garment of praise. And we see that stuff lifted off us, yeah? It's an incredible thing that praise does. And I want to keep this quick so we can get back into a time of praise. But the third thing that praise does, okay? So first, praise was the way into the presence of God. Second, praise kind of changes our spiritual condition. The third thing that praise does is that praise prepares the way for supernatural deliverance. And I think that's absolutely amazing. Praise prepares the way for supernatural deliverance. And the key to this one is found in Psalm 50, the verse I want to look like. It says that he who sacrifices praise honors me, and he prepares the way so that I may show him the salvation of God. Do you hear that? He who sacrifices praise, so he who praises me honors me, and in doing that, he prepares the way that I may show him the salvation of God. The principle here is that when we praise God, we prepare the way for him to show us his power and for him to save us and for him to move on our behalf and for him to intervene supernaturally on our behalf. And I want to look at a couple, land on this one for a second and look at a couple of different verses, places in the Bible where we see this happening. Because I love this, the Bible backs itself up. It makes a statement like that and then it backs itself up with these stories and real life examples of people who went through similar situations and who praised God and who seen breakthrough coming, yeah? And I believe this morning that praise is the key to your breakthrough. You could have been praying for breakthrough for ages, but when we start to praise God, we'll see that it activates something in the heavenlies. That step of faith in praising God and declaring God who we know him to be, despite what our situations would say, despite what the people around you would say, actually activates the presence of God in your life. It says that he who praises me prepares the way for me to show him the salvation of God. And there's a great story you can read in Chronicles chapter 20, and it talks about this guy called Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat was the ruler of the tribe of Judah at the time. And he finds himself in a situation where he hears that there's three other tribes. So he's one tribe, and he hears that there's these three other tribes are coming to attack him. They've gathered together, and they're coming against him. They want to take their land, they want to destroy them, and they're coming to attack them. And so instead of like sounding the battle horn and getting the armies ready and all, what Jehoshaphat does, a godly man, he calls people together and he gets them to pray and to fast, okay? And when they pray and fast, God speaks to them, and God says that the battle is his, and God says that I'm going to give you victory in it, okay? And they took him at his word, okay? And then we pick up the story here. So they've prayed and fasted. They know these big armies are coming against them. They don't stand a chance. They're outnumbered at least 3-1. And they prayed and fasted. God has said that the battle is his. And then we pick up the story here in verse 20, where it says this. They were up early in the morning, and they were ready to march into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they were leaving, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, "Listen, Judah and Jerusalem, listen to what I have to say. Believe firmly in God, your God, and your lives will be firm. Believe in your prophets, and you'll come out on top." And listen to this. After talking it over with the people, Jehoshaphat appointed a choir for God. Dressed in holy robes, they were going to march ahead of the troops, singing, "Give thanks to God, his love never quits, or his love endures forever." And as soon as they started shouting and praising, God set up ambushes against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. They're the three tribes. And as they were attacking Judah, and they all ended up dead. The Ammonites and the Moabites mistakenly attacked those from Mount Seir and massacred them. Then further confused, they went at each other and all ended up killed. What an amazing story. They're going out to meet this army, outnumbered, and they've heard from God. And in response to that, their response is to praise God, yeah, for his revelation. And what do? They send out the choir ahead of the army. They send out the singers and the harpists and the people, the worship leaders ahead of the army into battle. Now there's three other armies coming at them with weapons and all sorts of stuff, and they send out the singers in front to praise God. I think it's absolutely incredible. And they probably looked like fools in the eyes of their enemies, and that's until God shows up and their enemies all end up dead. And it's amazing. Like, God confuses them and their enemies attack one another and end up killing themselves. That's supernatural deliverance. That doesn't just happen, yeah? But it's praise that activated that. And they probably looked foolish, and there's people who'll tell you that you're a fool for praising God in the middle of your circumstance. You know, you're trying to live as a Christian, and you're like, praise God, things are going to work out, and there's people telling you you're delusional. That's not going to happen. That's not what this thing is all about. You're not living in reality there. But believe me, when you praise God, you prepare the way for him to show you his salvation. And when he shows you his salvation, then the enemy is silenced, yeah? He's embarrassed into silence, because praise prepares the way for supernatural deliverance. And what's more incredible to me in this story is that God didn't tell them to send out the choirs, yeah? You would think, like, if God told you something specific, like if he said, okay, now I want you to send out the choirs ahead of me, then you think, well, look, if God has said it, I have to believe it and I have to act on it, okay? But he didn't tell them that. What he did tell them was that the battle was theirs. And it was their choice then to praise God and to put the praise of God before their army, to put the praise of God out there as the front kind of line of their defense. And I love that, because it robs us of any excuse that, well, that was a specific situation. Because all of us know that God has given us promises, yeah? All of us know that God has told us that he's going to have things come to pass in our lives. We looked at the four cups a while back, where God promises you deliverance, God promises you salvation, God promises you restoration, he promises you that you have a hope and a future, redemption. But those things are activated by praise. In the same way, they had this promise of God and they chose to praise God. And it says, as soon as they started praising them, God confused their enemy and their enemy ended up defeating themselves. In the same way, we have these promises of God and they're activated by praise. I really believe this morning that praise is an activation of the promises of God in your life. That you could be praying, or you could be seeking God, or you could have these promises and you're like, when are they going to come to pass? And I believe this morning that an attitude and a lifestyle of praise is the key to activating those and to making them come to pass in your life. Are you with me? Does that make sense? That praise is an activator of the word of God and an activator of the promises of God. Because that's how we're called to live, guys. That's absolutely how we're called to live. See, whatever you're facing, whatever you think you can't get past, whatever you know you can't get past, we need to start looking from the what, yeah, looking at the what things that we're facing, and start looking to the who we know God is. Who do you say God is? Who do you believe God is? What do you believe God can do? Do you think he can intervene? Do you believe he'll intervene? Do you think you can get it through it? Do you dare to believe that the God of heaven would step into your situation and deliver you? If so, then the response is praise. The response is to declare that out. The response is to shout it out. The response is to sing it out. The response is to activate it in the heavenlies and watch as God comes through for you. That when we praise God, there's this shift that takes place where our problems become God's problems and our concerns become God's concerns, and we step out of the way and God steps in and we're saved. Amen? See, that's what happens when we truly praise God. And praising God and speaking these things out, it affirms them in our hearts. And it prepares the way for God to move. He who praises me prepares the way for me to show him my salvation. God said that. Not me, God said that. He who praises me prepares the way for me to show him my salvation. There's another great example in Jonah, Jonah chapter 2. We know the story of Jonah. He was sent as a prophet to Nineveh. He didn't want to go, so he legs it, hops on a boat going to the other side of the world. The boat, like, is struck by seas. The people throw him off the boat. He's swallowed by a huge fish, right? And then we pick up the story, Jonah chapter 2. He's praying in the belly of the fish. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1 to 8, Jonah prays to God, okay? And he prays out of his situation from inside a fish, kind of like poor me prayers, looking to God to intervene, okay? So we have eight verses of praise to God, of prayer to God. Then in verse 9, he transitions from prayer into praise, okay? He changes his attitude. He changes what it is that he's looking for. He's no longer looking at his problems, but he starts looking to God. And in verse 9, he says this, But I, with shouts of grateful praise, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed. I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. So he's praying for 8 verses, turns to praise in 9 verses. What happens in verse 10? It says, and the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Again, praise, turning from looking at our situations and just praying for God to intervene to praising God in the midst of our situations. Yeah, it's a different stature. It's a different point of view. It's saying, now I'm going to praise you because I believe that you're going to come through in this. I'm not just asking you to come through. I'm activating and I'm praising you because I believe you're going to come through in this. I want what you want for me. And God steps in and his presence is activated and the fish vomits him onto dry land. Prayer is good. I'm not saying prayer is bad. Prayer is good and necessary. But there's at times in prayer when we can tend to kind of look down at the inward and look at our needs. And very often when we start praying, we focus on our needs. We start praying for things we need or people we need. And that's our first port of call. When Jesus teaches us how to pray, his disciples say to him one time, teach us how to pray. And he says, pray like this. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Before he ever gets to asking for our daily bread, before he ever gets to asking for forgiveness, before he ever gets to asking like for any of the other stuff, deliver us from evil, he starts with a declaration of who God is, that he's our Father and that he's our Father in heaven, which is praise. And he says, hallowed be your name, meaning holy is your name, meaning you're separate, you're above all, you're one of a kind, you're different, you're unique, you're set apart. He starts off with praising God because that's the pattern that works. Jonah's prayer, he starts off with the things he needs, and then he sees when he praises God, it's activated. Jesus' prayer starts off with praise, and out of that then we build a platform of knowing, I'm praying to my Father in heaven. I'm praying to the name above all names. Yeah, I'm praying to the King who's building his kingdom on the earth. I'm praying to the God whose will is done in heaven at the moment and whose will is going to be done on earth. Then I have the confidence to pray, give me this day my daily bread. And I have the confidence to pray, forgive me my trespasses and deliver me from evil. I have the confidence to pray then because I know that I've encountered God, and that revelation of who God is give me the confidence and the ground to pray in that way. Another example, right? This is all over the Bible. You know the story of Paul and Silas when they're in prison, yeah? And they're locked up in chains down in a prison dungeon. And what do? They start praising God. And we know what happens when they start praising God, that an earthquake comes and the earthquake opens all their chains and they escape. Now that's a supernatural earthquake. Earthquakes don't open chains. They're in a dungeon. Chances are if an earthquake had a normal earthquake had come, the walls would have fallen down on them or whatever was above them would have fallen down and crushed them. But they praise God in the middle of their circumstance. And in the middle, then their circumstances change because he who praises me prepares the way for me to show him the salvation of God. Are you with me? Praise transports us into the realm of the supernatural and into the power of God. The fourth thing that I want to look at is that praise is a spiritual weapon. Okay? I love this. There's two kind of verses in the Bible or passages in Psalm 8 and Matthew 21. And Psalm 8 verse 2 says this, okay? It says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. From the lips of children and infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. Okay, so we learn from this that there's an enemy who needs to be silenced. How many of us know that there's an enemy who tries to speak into our lives, tries to say things into our life, tries to destroy us, tries to break us down, tries to convict us, tries to condemn us, tries to say things about us, that those thoughts that come into your mind or those thoughts that come from other individuals, that there's an enemy who's out to seek, to kill and destroy, yeah? That's what the Bible says about him. But the Bible also tells us now that he needs to be silenced, and that there's a weapon to silence him. It says, you've ordained strength that you might silence the enemy and the avenger. So what is that strength? And I love this. If we look in Matthew chapter 21, Jesus quotes this verse from back in Psalm 8, okay? So there's a couple of thousand years in between them, and Jesus quotes them. And the context is this, that Jesus is healing some people at the temple, and some children start praising him, right? And people are annoyed and they confront him. And Jesus responds to them as this. He says, have you never read, from the lips of children and infants, you have perfected praise? So he's quoting Psalm 8:2. But if we look at it, I think the two of them are on the screen there. Are they? Yeah, if we look at it, that's not what Psalm 8 verse 2 said. Okay? Jesus is quoting Psalm 8:2, but he gets it wrong. In Psalm 8:2 it says, from the lips of children and infants you have perfected, you have ordained strength. But in Matthew, when Jesus quotes it, he says, from the lips of children and infants, you've perfected praise. So there's two things that could have happened here. Either one, Jesus didn't know his scripture, okay? Jesus didn't know what it said, and he got it wrong, and he made a mistake. Or two, he was saying that the ordained strength of God to silence the enemy is perfect praise. That he's replacing the words ordained strength with perfect praise to show us that strength that he's given us to silence the enemy is the praise of God. That praise is what silences the enemy. And the strength of God is released in perfect praise. The strength of God that he's established to silence the enemy, to silence the accuser in your life, is the praise of God. I think it's absolutely incredible. He's given us that tool to silence him. So the next time the devil tries to discourage you or to accuse you or to make you feel no good, praise the Lord and that shuts him up. Praise the Lord, and that embarrasses him into silence, because we're not listening to the lie. The only power that the enemy has over us is the lie, and praise is based on truth. Praise is based on just declaring the things that you know to be true about God. Praise the Lord because your righteousness comes from God when the devil tells you you're not good enough, yeah? Praise the Lord when the devil tells you you're a sinner, that Jesus says that your sins are forgiven, yeah? Praise the Lord because your identity is so wrapped up in Jesus that when God looks at you, he sees the very righteousness of Christ, and he loves you with an unconditional love. And shut the devil up. Praise is a weapon that God has ordained for us to use in the silencing of the enemy. So we're going to finish by praising God. I tried to cut this short, and I know I've talked very quick, but if I summarize, there's four kind of points. If the worship team want to get back up, and we'll get ready to praise the Lord. We're going to exalt him this morning. But if we summarize those four points, the first one is that praise is the way into the presence of God. If you need to know the presence of God this morning in your life, I believe that God would say that praise is the way in this morning. If you're feeling distance from God, if you're feeling far off from God, if you haven't been able to break through into his presence, if you know that you're not in the place that you need to be with God, I believe that God would say that praise is the gateway into his presence this morning. That as we lift him up in praise, that we'll enter into his presence. Yeah, and it takes an act of faith to do that, guys. I know it takes an act of faith when you don't feel like praising God, but to do it. But I believe that that's the key to your breakthrough. And the devil would fight for all that ground. He'd fight for it. Don't believe that stuff. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you do. The Bible says it does matter what you say. That praise is always vocal, and that declaring who God is in your life will bring you into the very presence of God. And in the presence of God, anything can happen, guys. Absolutely anything can happen. The second one is that praise is your spiritual clothing. If you're feeling down or heavy, if you have that garment of heaviness on this morning instead of the garment of praise, it says that praise is that garment that clothes us and that lifts our heaviness. He says that he gives us a garment of praise instead of a spirit of heaviness. So if you're feeling heavy or down or low this morning, I believe that praise is your breakthrough to feeling the way that you should feel in God, that your joy would be, his joy would be your strength, that you'd be lifted in your spirit, that Jesus has promised that he doesn't want us to be heavy and burdened, but that he has a yoke that's easy and a burden that's light, and that he wants to lift us up, yeah? So if you feel heavy this morning and you need that lifted off you, I believe that as we praise him, we're assured that he's true to his word, and you can have that heaviness lifted off you, amen? The third one is that I believe that praise is an activator of the supernatural deliverance of God. And if you're facing a situation this morning that's way too big for you, you know that there's like Jehoshaphat, there's three armies coming against you and you're only one, and you know there's something that you can't get through without God, I believe that praise will activate that breakthrough in your life this morning. Praise will activate it. You may have been praying, you may have been standing on words, but I believe like Jehoshaphat sending out the army in front who's just going to praise God and lift up and declare who they know him to be, that praise will activate that word in your life and will bring breakthrough. If you've been struggling and waiting for breakthrough in your life, I believe that praise is the activator. And as we go for it in praise, I believe that God will do something in the heavenly, that he who praises me prepares the way for me to show him the salvation of God, yeah? And last, that praise is a spiritual weapon that's designed, it's the ordained strength of God that's designed to silence the enemy, yeah? And if the devil's been accusing you, if in your head, in your mind, you've been having a battle against things, if you're feeling the temptation of the enemy, if you're feeling the condemnation that often comes and you're feeling no good and all those kind of things, I believe that the praise is the ordained strength of God to silence that voice in your life. Amen? So those four things, whichever one, or if it's all four of them, I believe that praise is the key to it this morning, to unlocking and activating the very presence of God. Can we all stand? Is that all right? And we're going to go into a song.